Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wecker Drive. This is Anna DeVlantis. Hey, you made it to the weekend. Woohoo!
Woo!
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I need this weekend because
it was a long
feel
week.
It was. And but I feel like this also this shortened period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm kind of starting to feel it a little bit. Everything's sort of consolidated.
Yeah. Well, it's the latest Thanksgiving could have possibly been this year. And it's weird because last year was the earliest Thanksgiving could have been. So it felt like we had such a long holiday period. But you lose 5 or 6 days this year.
Right.
And everything, you're right. Just boom, 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 boom.
Six fewer days. And it's good for retail because apparently the retailers have to try to get you to buy everything in less time or fewer amount of days than you normally have.
Oh, it's better?
Well, better for the consumer.
Oh, okay.
Not for the retailer.
Okay.
For the consumer, because we're supposedly getting the deals, they really have to make the bank quicker in fewer days. But it's kind of bad for life when you try to think of all the things, you're trying to fit in. And let's face it, the holidays are already overwhelming and hectic.
Holiday parties alone. So you lose one weekend, so everyone's got to take 5 weekends into four, and everyone's got a party.
Everyone's calling around, do you have a holiday party?
Yeah,
I mean, they're planning the holiday parties.
Yep.
If you do Christmas cards, you got to get those out.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's a lot to keep track of. Holiday tipping, though, is something we want to turn our attention to because it's that time of year when we show our appreciation to those who make our lives easier.
Yeah, and I think that I was reading this article. I'm trying to pull it up now. The idea of how many people we like to give gifts for around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and do you give extra tips to the hairstylist?
Are you remembering everyone? That's my concern all the time. 312-981-7200. Do we forget people? Who gets left out?
Here's who gets left out. The new thing, the Amazon drivers.
Yeah, right, because you tip your letter carrier and
right.
even maybe your normal delivery guy.
But you don't know who's going to drop off the package today as opposed to tomorrow or yesterday.
How would you even tip them, though, Steve? Tape like a $10 bill to the... I mean, how would you do that?
John said there was a tweet that he was retweeting this morning about someone who just put out a box of bottled water or wrapped cookies or things like that with a little sign that said, just thanks a lot, take one when you're done.
Pretty nice.
It's good. I don't really eat cookies that are just sort of out there.
Of course, that means you're...
I mean, they're just kind of there. You're like, okay, sure who made the cookies.
Maybe they're wrapped, yeah.
Wrap them up with a name on it, Amazon driver.
Yeah. AD.
From AD, so we know a source.
Yes, yeah. I'll tip the first one that doesn't launch the package over the fence in my backyard. That's the first one that's going to get the $10 from me.
We've got some official ideas here, or some official advice, really, from an etiquette expert. Akilah Easter, here she is. Joining the show. Thank you, Akilah, for weighing in. Always like to hear from you on things like this.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me on today.
What's the general rule for holiday tipping? And do you know, are we leaving people out? Is that a concern? Or do you really kind of know? It's your hairdresser. It's that general list that you do every year.
It's the people that you see frequently. If you see your hairdresser every month, every other month, you guys have established relationships with each other. I also mentioned personal trainers, babysitters, the people that you rely on the most, and the people that if you need to call on them, they will be available. So you're creating those relationships with those tips. In other words, you're bribing them throughout the year.
And sometimes, it does feel like, oh my gosh, I forgot, or I've got to make sure the garbage man gets it, or I've got to make sure.
Yeah.
So otherwise they don't feel appreciated enough, right?
But you don't want to break your budget. So you have to figure out what your budget is. Don't go broke trying to create that. And you can always do thoughtful gifts. It doesn't have to always be a monetary gift to offer.
Says U.S. mail carriers for the federal regulations, just to remind people, you can only give them $20 or less.
Yep, that is the max. So a lot of people opt to give gifts, even though the gifts are supposed to be in value less than $20. So like it was mentioned earlier, some treats that are left outside, but maybe just do a little bit more packaging with it, do a personal handwritten note associated with it to let them know that it was more specific and geared towards them.
Are the baked goods a good idea, Akilah? Do you think that's good?
I'm not going to grab any cookies off the porch, but maybe something that's wrapped and we package it accordingly so that it is sealed for them.
Maybe
and
a bowl of soup. Put a bowl of soup out there.
Steve,
no animals. Nothing
some deli
like
meats,
that.
Maybe. Make your own cold cut.
Oh, I'm so grossed out.
It's like a bird bath. Yeah.
Dig in. Here's some chips and queso on the stove. No, thank you. I mean, you're right. You got to think of them. You got to figure that out. This is interesting. There is a guide for city employees in the city of Chicago and elected officials, mind you, about this kind of thing. Gifts they can and cannot accept. And I know what you're saying. We had no idea that they actually offered this advice. And if they did, are really people reading this and taking, are they listening? Probably not.
People are getting in trouble for that. So they probably did have to create some guidelines that so nobody else will get in trouble.
If you're paying attention, there is a little problem with the accepting of the gifts and personal favors. But let me read out what it actually is so people know.
Okay.
Any you may not accept as a city employee or elected official any single gift or combination of gifts worth more than $50 from a single source in a calendar year. So
in a calendar year, that's interesting. Yes. Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely want to make sure that we are in alignment with the laws or regulations. Some people still try to, I'm trying to figure out how to tell people, how can you kind of reject a gift when you know that it exceeds $50? So they're going to have to be direct because you never know which one could get you in trouble. So that consistency is key. And that's the same thing with the federal employees. Most federal employees cannot get personal gifts exceeding the $20, as you mentioned.
What do you say? Very quickly, I only have a few seconds here, Akilah, but how do you reject it in a nice way?
I would let them know that you have specific rules and you can't risk your job. I'll be like, meet me later on. No, I'm just kidding. I would just make sure that, you know, my boss is always watching and I really, really appreciate it, but I cannot accept this gift. You can be upfront with something like that.
All right. Akilah Easter, etiquette expert. We always appreciate you weighing in. Thank you, Akilah.
Thanks so much for having me. You guys have a great holiday season.
You too. We'll introduce you to Military Mamas coming up after the break here on WGN. All right, we were talking about giving tips and showing your appreciation to city workers and others who make your life happy and make life easier, and like garbage men and things like that. We were talking about they have the $50 rule for them. And then we were talking about the delivery people and the Amazon delivery if you want to give something to them. 224 sent me a picture of a basket of just snacks. Like, you know, potato chips and cookies that are
like
totally wrapped.
Bars.
Yes,
yeah.
Things and like water and just a bunch of things just to show appreciation for our UPS, FedEx, USPS and delivery drivers. Please, we want to say thank you. She has a nice note. And then she has this little basket of goodies so you can take one and it's fully
that's
wrapped.
Smart. Yeah, because they're working hard this holiday season, no doubt.
They are. I'm sure it's quite hectic for them. And then we have 630, screw those and professional idiot drivers. Tip hard-working truck drivers like me. they're working hard, too. And it's hard to tip certain people. It's absolutely right. You don't have as much face-to-face contact. All right, we want to introduce you to Military Mamas. It's this fantastic organization that really just hit my radar. But I've had a chance just to talk to Jerianne Weisbrook. You founded Military Mamas. Tell us what the organization's about and why you did it.
Well, I did it because my son joined the Army. I'm sure he's tired of hearing this, but it's the truth. So my family's Navy, right? My parents met in the Navy, and they made Navy babies and Navy grandchildren, and then my son joined the Army. I'm like, I don't know how to Army. It's a different language,
it is.
A different uniform, and they do things differently.
My dad was Army.
Is it unusual, because I'm not from a military family, my grandparents were, but is it unusual that if you have everyone set in kind of one branch to branch out to a different one?
It's not as unusual as I thought it was
okay.
When you did it.
Okay.
I have a lot of stories now like that.
But when you tell me what Military Mamas did, it pretty much brought a tear to my eye because it was a need I did not even realize that you are fulfilling. And you're basically dealing with deployed military mm-hmm. and disabled military and the children of these particular families, and you do vet them very hard.
We do.
Otherwise would not have a Christmas.
Right, yeah.
Explain that to us, Jerry.
Well, so how it works is this time of year everyone's like, throughout the year, we hear this, right? Thank you for your service. We appreciate you so much. And they send boxes to the deployed people. We appreciate that. They need it. It's a big morale boost. But people don't support the families at home. I'm going to totally cry through this. And so we have families that are spending all their extra money to send stuff to the person who they love that's deployed. And then their kids need stuff, or emergencies come up, or Christmas comes. And it's just, you know, like for us, it's a stretch of the budget. For them, it's a break of the budget. And so a few years ago, just backing up, Military Mama Network started 6 years ago to support troops and training and then beyond. And then as they began to serve and then they became veterans, we just kind of fill the gap of where we can't get like other organizations or governmental support. And our thing is it's really important that it be personal. So if G.I. Joe is over there, I don't want him to get a hand-stamped thing that says, you know, G.I. Joe. I want it to get a thing that's like Joe and his last name.
Often,
in a hand.
Do they have family back here? I mean, are the families that you identify, what do you look for when you determine the need in order to write these personal notes and help their families?
Well, so for the deployed people, it's just they ask, right? Mm-hmm. I've got five guys that aren't getting support, and we trust them. Like, if you're getting shot at overseas, then you're probably not going to lie about a box full of, you know, potato chips.
Right.
And so that is just a complete word of mouth thing. And literally all of ours has been word of mouth. And so we send the boxes. But then as we're sending cards to them, like, does your family need anything back home? And that's where it starts to really snowball. But a few years ago, we got a little more formal where they fill out a Google form and we ask them, where are you deployed? Like, there's code words you can use in the military mm-hmm. world that is still safe, but you know that they're telling the truth. Or we ask for particular forms that they would have to fill out if they're disabled veterans. And so then we just check them out and we have them do a wish list for what their kids would want, because, you know, if your mom or dad is overseas or they're mm-hmm. struggling with their health, and then you want a G.I. Joe and you get a Barbie, it's not Christmas, right? So we try to really match up families that want to give with families that need support. And then in every box, they get their personal gifts, but they also get a note. And what we hope is that it'll build a relationship over time as deployments are back and forth, or just as the families have been around our network, they get like informational support, they get relational support, and then they get these great one-on-one relationships, but they also get their needs met in a way that, like, just isn't getting done.
Mm-hmm. I can hear you getting emotional about this, and I know, Jerianne, you've come to know a lot of these people personally, and you know that what you guys are doing is really, really helping.
Yeah.
And you think about it, just loneliness at the holiday alone is a difficult thing, and many people stateside deal with that, but being in another country, dealing yeah. with the stress of that job, being separated maybe from a child mm-hmm. or children back home, it's tough, and making sure that your kids are enjoying Christmas, that they still get that experience.
Yeah,
that's a really special thing to be able to provide. Are you finding enough people getting on board with you? I know you. I from what I understand, sounds like you've identified a lot of need amongst our
yeah.
troops, and yet you still are in need on the donation side of things and the awareness side of things.
Yeah. Yeah, so for us, the timeline for the deployed end of it is that had to go out last week. Mm-hmm. So all their boxes are out, and we call that Operation Christmas Train, and we literally deploy or export Christmas to the deployed. We'll send little bitty trees or larger trees if we can, and everything that you would expect on Christmas morning, hot chocolate, presents, even music and ornaments and whatever we can do to bring Christmas to them. And so then, and that's taken care of, right? We've gotten that all sent out. They're all taken care of. They're really excited about their boxes coming. They're starting to show up, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But back home, we have 200 kids, and we have 100 kids on a waiting list because we just cannot provide Christmas for them.
And how much does it cost per child? If someone wanted to try to give to your organization, how much does it cost?
So to do a box for Christmas for a kid is $100. Our goal is that each child gets two boxes, because within that box is also, especially like in Chicago, right, or Colorado, it's outerwear. They need boots. They need mm-hmm. gloves. And they need, like, when you get a Christmas wish list and their wish list is, I need a winter coat. Like, it's just crushing. It's soul crushing. And then we give the families some money that they can spend on, like, Christmas dinner. Or sometimes they just pay their heating bill or stuff like that. So what we need this Christmas season is literally $20,000 just to do what we've already committed to. And then if we could get the extra 100 kids taken care of, that would be another like $10,000 to take care of both ends of that equation, where we take care of the mom's worry and the kids' wishes.
You typically, are you dealing with a mom who does work or maybe part-time works? I know when you have a family member deployed, it's difficult to always find regular work because of the disruption in the schedule. But what is the typical family, if there is one? Can you describe it to us?
So a typical family, like you said, so they've been moved around every 3 years. So their employment history is erratic. And it's really, the longer you've been in service, the harder it is to get a job. So we're talking about like young moms with 3 or 4 or 5 kids that are lucky if they can get a job at Walmart, even though their skill level is much higher, right? Mm-hmm. So the income disparity is huge. And then, you know, so, I mean, they literally, when I say they're barely making ends meet, and that's if they don't have Christmas, if they don't have a medical crisis, if their car doesn't break down, it's really, really like low level expectations.
Jerianne, how do we find you? Because we're tight on time here, and I do want to promote the other event that you're going to be appearing at today here in Chicago. People can meet you and they can learn more about your organization. How do people reach your organization? Find out more about it.
Well, so we live and breathe on Facebook. I love it. I love Facebook. I could talk about that all day. But Facebook has sponsored a pop-up market in the Fulton Market, 841.
It's in the West Loop. You can Google pop-up Facebook
852.
Market.
852.
West Fulton.
Yes. So drop by. We have hot chocolate. The story's told there in more detail. You can donate, or you can donate online. We are on Facebook. It's Military Mama, M-A-M-A. Network. We have a page and we've got a group. We'd love you to join if you have served or have someone who's serving. And we have texting information. But if you Google us, trust me, you'll find a way to give.
I found you and I'm glad I did.
Thank you for sharing what you do
and thank you for what you do. We appreciate it.
Jerry for the time.
Weisbrook of Military Mamas. Back here live in the Skyline Studios. This is Anna DeVlantis. All right, coming up here, we've got Lou Kanellis on his way into the studio to talk about the Chicago Bears.
Ooh, yeah, hey, how about that? You know, everyone writing them off for dead at 4-6, and they've come storming back, and they got themselves a chance. They got to run the rest of it, but you never know.
Well, I was saying, you know, I saw Adam Hogue tweeted yesterday. Well, I like to watch the Bears game while I'm looking at Twitter. I just find it very fun to see everyone's comments during the game.
Yeah, good or bad. You can always see some great GIFs or whatever it might be. Yeah, it's
and
fun.
Adam Hogue had this great comment. He just said, raise your hand if you said we should bench Mitch Trubisky and put in Chase Daniel at any point during the season. And I think a lot of us as Bears fans did fall into that trap. Maybe not the Chase Daniel trap, but certainly the I've lost faith in Mitch trap. And maybe that changed yesterday and the game before.
Yeah.
It looked like there were some signs of real hope.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone was wrong to think that. I'm just glad, at least for how things went last night, that the coaching staff didn't. Look, say what you will. He's a young player. It takes time to develop sometimes, and that's not fun for the fans to hear, but that's the reality of things.
And I listened to my favorite show after the game, which is Hamp and OB, and oh my gosh, I barely recognized them. Did you listen? More with Lou Kanellis coming up here on WGN Radio. Live from the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis. We're going to talk Bears in a moment here with Lou Kanellis. And I think a lot of us, I know myself included, I started to feel really kind of good about Mitch Trubisky. And I was one of the first people when I said, raise your hand if you gave up on Mitch Trubisky. I was one of those people who definitely did that earlier in the season. And I don't know. I liked what I saw.
Yep.
It just gets me exciting. As Steve Bertrand said earlier, Super Bowl. It's a word that's, you know, some very zealous fans are starting to say again.
I think what's always impressive about Mitch Trubisky is not only when he's able to throw and connect passes, but his ability to move around in the pocket, dodge defenders when he decides to run. You saw his fake to David Montgomery, and he ended up running for the 24-yard touchdown to give the Bears 31 points. It was huge. I mean, it's still an uphill. It's not all...
uphill. What kind of hill?
It's a big hill.
It's a flat hill.
No.
We're just cruising.
It's right. San Francisco.
Steve, I thought you were saying Super Bowl just like a half an hour ago.
Yeah, Super Bowl, here it comes.
No,
you know what? And the thing that cracks me up with Bears fans, and I used to work with the Bears 30 years ago, but you know, they are so... What did you do for me the last moment, right? I mean,
what did you do for me a minute ago,
Nagy,
and one moment from now?
Nagy was a genius last year. He was a genius.
Coach of the year.
And then people were running him out of town just 2 weeks ago, and now they're back on the bandwagon again. It's just...
They're called fanatics for a reason,
I guess,
Steve.
So, yeah.
That's what fans are supposed to do.
I got
to
tell you, I felt badly because I was at the Chargers game this season, and things had already started to go kind of bad, turning south at that time. And people were booing Trubisky in the first quarter, and you could visibly see it. You could visibly see the impact that
there's an impact on people
losing the fans had on that team.
Oh, there was certainly a vibe around the team, and that certainly has turned around. I kept the seat warm enough for Lou Kanellis. Now we're going to get a real expert here to talk through it, through the X's and O's. But I guess they still got. We're talking about that hill. I mean, they've got to overtake either the Vikings or the Packers if they got a chance to make
rough,
the playoffs. They got to win out.
Rough road ahead, no question. But Lou Kanellis is here to break it down. You know, if you're like me, there are two things you cannot miss on any Bears game day, and that is Fox 32's. I think we were hearing the saxophone.
Yeah, that's Lauren Lapka. She's just playing a little
bit
for us.
It's his walk-up music for Lou Kanellis.
I like it.
Yeah, we don't miss you on a game day. But this, you know, you've always been optimistic about the Bears, Lou. I mean, almost to a fault. And, you know, this is the stuff you've been telling us, the fundamentals that you've seen there all along. And what do you know?
You know what, Anna?
I just think I've
seen enough football to realize that the season's not won or lost in 10 or 12 games. And they play a 16-game schedule for good reason. And some teams start to develop slower than others. And I saw a Philadelphia team just a couple of years ago open up 4-6 and then go off and win a Super Bowl. So it really depends on who's hottest at the very end going into the playoffs. And then at some point, you know, once you get to the dance, anyone can win the dance. You just got to get there. And in the Bears' case, and obviously Mitchell Trubisky is the big talk today because he has surprised people over the last couple of games. And I've been defending Trubisky. And believe me, I started to actually look in the mirror and say, what the hell are you doing?
We were all like, Lou, what are you doing?
At some point, what? But you know what? It's funny. And I had dinner with lunch, the day after Thanksgiving with my wife and my beautiful daughter.
Gia.
Yes, Gia and Monica at Ditka's. And there was an older couple sitting next to us. And I was, you know, my daughter was, you know, using crayons and keeping her occupied while we waited for our food. And this older gentleman came over to me and he said, can I just thank you for defending Mitch Trubisky? Because unless your name is Jordan in this city, everyone attacks you, and especially the media. And for good reason, Trubisky, you know, took his shots. But this kid's tough, man. I'll tell you what, to play quarterback in the city of Chicago for the Bears is no easy chore. And I get it, folks. I get it. He was the number two pick in the draft.
He had to deliver. And we expected that because of what they traded to get him here. And then the high hopes on everything to do with this team going in. There was just too much on his shoulders, it felt.
And not only because of them picking him second in the draft, but because Patrick Mahomes, who was selected after he was, had an MVP type season. So he's always going to be compared to the quarterbacks that were picked after him, Watson included. So he's been under a lot of pressure, and unfortunately, he is now bitter towards the media. I see it when he talks to the media now. But that's okay, because if he keeps playing like he played the last two games, he can hate us. I could care less.
Exactly right. 815, Mitch Trubisky is good quarterback if they get him out of the pocket last night. Prime example of what Mitch can do from last year if the coach can only recognize that. People have been calling them for that for a while.
Is there something you've seen in the switch the last couple weeks that you can identify, Lou, that why he's certainly getting this? Because the Cowboys' defense is a good defense, a top-10 defense.
I'll tell you what, their front four is as good as any in football. And the texter that just sent you that text, Anna, is spot on. He's moving around in the pocket, all right? And he's taken off with his feet. Last year, the kid ran for almost 500 yards.
Right.
So what he did a season ago, and was one of the reasons why they finished up 12-4 and won the NFC North, was because he was consistently on the move and he kept defenses honest. They didn't know if he might take off with the football and run. This season, and Matt Nagy just had his press conference about a half hour ago, and the question was asked, why now? Why didn't this happen 8 games ago? Because now you're in a position where you have to run the table to get into the playoffs. Why is he finally rolling out of the pocket, running with the football, when there's an opportunity? And Nagy said it had nothing to do with play calling. It had everything to do with a feel of his teammates and what they were feeling as a coaching staff, play calling wise. And I think a lot of it, not enough people talk about it other than my partner on Bears Post Game Live, and that's Jim Miller, who's a former quarterback who played the position here in Chicago at the Bears. And he said that ever since the coaching staff made the move putting Cody Whitehair back at center and moving the rookie James Daniels out of that position, or the second-year player now, James Daniels, that he has been a different quarterback, a more comfortable quarterback out there, and it has allowed him to feel like, you know what, if I see space, I'm taking off with the football. So the answer is, he's now running with the football. He's a dual threat. We're seeing it with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. Now we're seeing it with Trubisky.
Let me ask you another question, because you're talking about his skills, and I think everyone believed that those were ultimately there. I want to ask about his mental state, because you have special access to the Bears because you work for the Bears and the relationship with the Bears, and you get to sort of read the locker room in a way most people don't necessarily ever get to do. And I wonder, during this stretch of really difficult times for the Bears, when a lot of us as fans were really beating them up and beating Trubisky up in particular, did he lose the locker room? Did you get any signs that the other players on the team were sort of like, I don't know, we got this great defense. Is this guy going to be the one?
Never. And that tells to the character of this organization, of the players especially. There was no finger pointing, which frankly was a miracle, because they went 42 days in between victories. All right, they've won 4 of their last 5. 42 days without a win. I'll tell you what, losing takes its toll. Ask guys that have been on winless teams, guys that have been on, you know, 2-14 squads, 4-12 teams. Losing takes its toll, and these guys are all, I call them companies, all right? They all have their own brand. They're all out there. I know that they're part of the team, but they all represent themselves and they're a corporation. And when things start going bad, wide receivers don't get the football, so that means they're not chalking up big yardage, big catch numbers. That means it's going to cost them when it comes time to get a new contract. There was none of that, which is amazing, which again tells you about the type of people involved, the type of players involved, and that's a credit to the coach. And a guy who also has taken a beating, and that's Ryan Pace, the general manager. Mm-hmm. He knew what type of players he was drafting, what kind of free agents he was signing. He understood that these guys were team guys, that there wasn't a player on this team. There wasn't a Chad Johnson or a Terrell Owens that was all about himself. These guys were about winning, and they were going to sacrifice personal numbers to make sure that they stuck together until they turn it around, and sure enough, we're seeing it.
So Bears fans are the worst when things are going badly, but when things start to look up, we just, you know, a lot of us jump on board, and people are very hopeful that this weird playoff scenario, we only have a minute here, Lou, but break down what the Bears need to do if they're going to move on to the playoffs. As you said, once you get there, who knows what happens?
Well, they got to win. They've got to win their last three games, and their next game is a week from Sunday at Lambeau Field against Green Bay.
Woo!
So that's
That'll
no
easy,
easy chore.
Yeah.
But, listen, you talked about it. Confidence is, it means so much. You know, I think Confucius said that a confident team is a dangerous team, Anna. So the Bears have the confidence going into Lambeau Field, and if they win that game, then who knows what happens, because now you're playing a Sunday nighter at home with Bears fans 100% behind you against the MVP, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs. And if you nail that game,
yeah, then you got
now
something.
You go to Minnesota to finish off the season. You hope between now and then Minnesota loses one more game, and now you're playing the Vikings for the wild card spot, and the Bears have had the Vikings number over the last couple of years. So my money's on the Bears at that point.
We got a little more Bears talk, and I want to turn to some other things going on in your life. You are also a restaurateur. A lot of people know you've got this beautiful daughter. I mean, you were involved in a cancer charity. I saw you at just recently. A couple other things we want to talk to Luke Kanellis about coming up here on WGN Radio.
Folks, what I saw tonight was a team that had a purpose. These kids somehow, and I don't know if it was the coaches, because I've seen more negative stuff than positive stuff from this coaching staff. But I'll tell you what, which I've said from week after week, these kids have been going out there and playing their heart out. Playing their heart out.
That's OB. Very different take than we've seen in recent weeks after the Bears game, where they've gotten beaten up pretty badly, I will say. Luke Kanellis is here in studio with us. A man who has believed in Trubisky, by the way, when no one believed in Trubisky, in those weeks when everyone sort of fell off, you were still saying, hey, he's our guy. But look, now everything you're hearing is the Bears. I mean, even Dan Hampton, OB, yesterday said the Bears are making us proud. And that's a pretty big admission if you
that
listen
was a
to their shows.
Huge effort last night. I mean, in front of the world to see. On a national TV stage, when most of the betting public and the prognosticators out there selected the Cowboys to win that game. Dallas was the favorite on the road. Everyone said that there's no way the Bears can beat the Cowboys because of Dallas's talent and number one scoring team in the football and a pretty good defense, especially with their front four. And the Bears took it right to them. And to follow up on what OB said, and you guys are so lucky that you've got OB and Hamp, because
love those guys.
They're both two great Bears. They weren't good Bears. They were great Bears. And
they're
no one
passionate.
Appreciates.
They feel it with their heart. They want this team to be great. And that's what I love. You feel it.
And they were so proud of the way the Bears bounced back. Dallas on that first drive went 17 plays. Longest drive in the NFL this year. Not just with Dallas. Longest drive in the entire league. Didn't fluster the Bears whatsoever. Boom, they came right back. He throws an interception.
Were you sure
boom,
then,
they come
too?
Right
I know
back.
You're Mr. Optimism. Were you sure that that moment that things
no,
were
No, I wasn't
gonna...
sure. No, I thought at that time I knew that the Bears, I thought for, I really did. I felt good about their offense last night, and I thought it was going to turn into a shootout. Eventually, the final score made it look like a shootout, but the game was nowhere near as close as that final score indicated.
I want to ask you about a story that came out about this. I think it was this week, earlier this week, and I think many Bears fans choked on their beef sandwiches when they saw this. It was the Brady-Trubisky comparison. A lot of people saying, come on. TB12 and Mitch Trubisky, could you possibly, how can you say that Trubisky's numbers are better? And I guess they are. You're looking at real data. But I think the real question here, Lou, and what everybody's asking now is, he can he be the elite quarterback that, you know, leads us to the promised land? Is
well,
are we going to go there?
You know, if you consider Jim McMahon an elite quarterback, and I thought Jim McMahon was a real good quarterback. I don't put him in the same category as Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. But I just want a winning quarterback. That's what I want. He doesn't have to be elite. He doesn't have to put up Johnny Unitas, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers numbers. He needs to put up wins. That's what's most important, because wins get you Super Bowls. And Jim McMahon, arguably, is the greatest Bears quarterback ever, along with Sid Luckman, because he won a Super Bowl. And that's what's best.
So there is a big bet from the NFL because of the high hopes put on the team this year. They have a lot of national stages that they're appearing on, including this last night and the week before. Maybe that bet's going to pay off. Talk about the road ahead, though. What they have to do to win. What they have to win every game.
They've got to win every game. They've got to win at Green Bay. By the way, the game will be on Fox a week from Sunday. And then they come home and they play another national TV game, as you just referenced, Anna, and that's against Kansas City. And a Chiefs team that, you know, is leading its division right now and is probably going to go to the playoffs. And they have the most valuable player from a year ago in Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So that'll be a true test. But I have a good feeling about, hey, if the Bears can, one game at a time, as the players have been preaching and Coach Matt Nagy has been talking about. One game at a time, and right now it's about Green Bay a week from Sunday.
All right, we're going to look forward to that, but I want to ask you about something else. The other piece of your life, because you become a very successful entrepreneur, restaurateur in town, and being the daughter of a Greek restaurateur, I thought the goal was to never go back into that business, and you're a Greek-American too. I thought you're supposed to sort of, because you know how hard that business is when you had to work in it as a child or had any family member try to make the thing whole, the ends meet, working in that business, but you have been phenomenally successful. I pulled the reviews from when Avli Taverna first opened up, and it said a promising start for quality comfort food. Only so many multi-million dollar fancy places we need in the city. This one fills a real need. And then like 7 months later, short months, you get a Bib Gourmand. I mean, that's like a huge deal. Lou, are you like, I mean, it's working. It's working.
I have the right partner. He gets the credit. Louis Alexakis, who owns Avli and Winnetka, has been doing this far, far longer than I ever thought of doing it. And he is the greatest partner one could have, because I've never met anyone more passionate about what he does for a living than Louis Alexakis. And he knows how to operate a restaurant. He knows how to put together a menu. He's had this vision for 30 years. For 30 years, he has traveled the world. I'm telling you.
What? He's just doing it now?
Well, he used to own a place called Uzuri, which was in Lincoln Park in the late 90s, and he was ahead of his time. And at that time, he was prepared to bring the world contemporary Greek. Where did I come up with the idea mm-hmm. of teaming up with Louis? Traveling and going to New York and going to Avra, New York, Okokari in San Francisco. Great, great Greek restaurants with contemporary menus. That's not taking anything away from what Greek Islands or Psistadia locally here in Lincolnwood.
Cisteria, have done, a lot of people
yeah,
would
Cisteria,
know it.
Cisteria, exactly, mm-hmm. have done with traditional Greek. But this was taking Greek food and lifting it another level or two, and making it more of a chef dining experience. And everyone else was doing it around the country except for Chicago, which amazed me, because I think the greatest restaurants in the world are in this town, thanks to groups like Let Us Entertain You and Boca.
It's so competitive here, which is why it's daunting to any restaurateur to say, I'm going to get in.
Exactly. So that's why I teamed up with the best, and he's been terrific, and he's executed with his staff and with his chefs, and it's worked in Lincoln Park. As you said, we won a Michelin Bib Gourmand at Avli Taverna, and we recently, back on November 8th, I believe it was, to be exact, opened up in River North on the corner of Wells and Huron, and it's been just as good over there. I mean, I'm blessed that I hooked up with the right guy.
So you're in the second location of Lee River North, and I know, because I've talked to you and seen you at different events, that you're going to the restaurant. Like, Lou Kanellis is at the restaurant, and then he runs over and does the sports, and then you run over to the restaurant. I mean, you are working pretty hard these days, Lou.
When you put your name on something, Anna, and you know this, mm-hmm. when you put your name on something, you want to do all you can to make sure that it goes well. And I've worked ridiculous hours for the last 2 years. But listen, when you're winning, it's fun.
Yeah.
It really is. You feel like you're throwing a party every night. And I'm blessed to have the greatest teammate in the world, my wife, Monica, who's incredibly understanding, because, as you know, we just had a baby 19 months ago. And she has been the ultimate partner, the ultimate mother, and has helped out as we try to launch this restaurant deal as well.
God bless Monica. She, you know, I saw her at an event recently. You were emceeing the event. It's for the Hippocratic Cancer Society, which is a locally founded group that helps fund cancer research It's just, it's amazing what they've been able to do, too. And I know we've both been affiliated with that, trying to raise money. They raised $3.5 million last year. A group.
Say that one more time.
$3.5 million.
In one night.
And it started just a couple years ago, and the passion to bring people in Chicago together who felt as if more cancer research needed to be funded. And they found this brilliant researcher, doctor at Northwestern, who is
Dr. Fatyanas,
who's funding this research. I mean, who's conducting this research. And it's, I just, UEMC'd it that night, and I felt, wow, it's just cool to see something local that's doing something this great.
Can I just take 2 seconds to tell you a little about what they're doing over there with Dr. Fatyanas?
I know, it's a personal connection.
And his cancer research, yeah, it's a personal connection. Unfortunately, during the polar vortex, actually the day of the polar vortex, my younger brother asked me to go with him to St. Joe's over on Inner Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. To get a diagnosis on some tests that he had gone through. And at that time, I sat with my younger brother and found out that he had cancer. He had bone cancer. And he needed a stem cell transplant. And at that time, we asked the question that day, how long he had, and they said 5 years. And at the age of 51, to be told you have 5 years left is, you're looking, staring at death in the face.
Your brother.
My own brother. So I called Dr. Fatyanas, who I met through the Hippocratic. And I said, you know, he once said to me, when you and I started the help of Lenny Boussis, who started the Hippocratic Foundation, he said, I hope you never have to call me, but you know you always can.
And at that point, you just sort of, I'm sure like most of us, just brushed it off and thought, what a great guy. I hope I never have
to call him. Right, exactly. Well, I called him, and immediately his team at Northwestern's Lurie Cancer Research Center took my brother under their wing, and he had a stem cell transplant back in July. And I can tell you, and I reached out to him this morning to make sure he was okay with you and I talking about this on the radio. And he said, I want you to talk about it because I want everyone to know that if you carry the right attitude and you go through the proper treatments and you're open to everything, you'll get the great news that I've been getting. And that is, his life expectancy is now at 12 years.
Man.
This is in less than a year. Mm. It's gone from 5 years to 12 years. Mm-mm-mm. And if he goes through another stem cell treatment, they said that they feel they will eradicate the cancer.
It's so moving, and he's got a new lease on life, and I know that means, it just means the world. It's remarkable, really, really remarkable. Lou, are you going, so I know you continue with the Hippocratic Foundation. Do you happen to know how to contact them? It's just hippocraticfoundation.org, I believe, and the great work that they're doing. And God bless your brother.
Thank you.
And your little daughter, who I know is under the weather right now, and say hi to Monica.
I will say hi to Monica and go Bears, right?
Go Bears. Thank you, Luke Canales. Appreciate it. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Then more here on WGN Radio.
I did not know before I got married that every single day of my life, after I got married, I would be discussing the tone in my voice. Okay? I didn't know that. I was not aware that I spoke in so many different tones. I have since learned, not only do I speak in many different tones, I am often speaking in the incorrect tone.
Aren't we all? Something a lot of us can relate to. Jerry Seinfeld there talking about tone in relationships. One of the subjects we're going to get to here with Bella Gandhi of Smart Dating Academy. It's a Chicago company that really helps people with relationships, right, Bella? If you're married, if you're single, you help people connect, you help people improve. What do you do?
We help people exactly like you're saying. We help you to bring more love into your life. Maybe you need to love yourself a little bit more. Maybe you need to find someone to love you. There are many lids to your pot, and it's peak dating season, by the way. Or maybe you need to fan the flames of your relationship. Maybe you've been married 5, 10, 20, 50 years, and you're experiencing something with tone at home.
Tone is an issue. I feel like there's a male-female divide there when it comes to how we read things. You can just say the simplest of sentences and it can set a partner off because of the tone. I mean, he's onto something there. There's a reason why it is so funny, because it's kind of true.
It's so true, especially if you get into those, I call them like the marital grooves, like where it might take a normal human being 50 times to push your button to get that belligerent of a response from you. But as soon as your partner says it, you go straight into trauma mode and you go, and that's where our tone gets affected. In fact, I will tell you, we're doing a renovation on our house right now, which if you're a couple,
it's one of the most stressful.
problems. Things that you can do with your partner or spouse. And my husband and I were having a discussion this morning, and I realized he might be interpreting tone for me. And I said to him, I just want to let you know that we are in total agreement, and I just want to do a tone check and make sure you know that we're totally aligned. And he's like, thank you for that. We are totally aligned. And it made both of us laugh. So we created what we called the tone check.
There is a thing for that.
There's
a
tone check.
That's a thing.
It's a tone check. And then it can make you laugh if you make it a joke. Like, tone check.
So it's not just Jerry Seinfeld. One of the things he said he needed to check a tone check with his wife over him coming home one day and saying, I need something to eat. And she's like, what? You need something to eat? Like, go get it yourself. It was suddenly, he's like, oh, I just meant, like, I'm hungry. Like, that's all he was saying was, I'm hungry. And yet it was read in this completely entirely different way.
What she probably heard, I'm guessing, if I'm putting myself in Jessica's position, is you should have known that I would be hungry, and you should have had a good hot meal ready for me. Therefore, you are not a great wife, is probably what she heard.
In that one sentence, isn't it amazing how that can be read into? It's just, why is it so complicated? But tone check, that's a new thing.
Do a tone check. And talk to each other about tone. And look, any good relationship is based on transparency and authenticity, right? You have to be able to say what you feel without feeling like you're going to be yelled at or judged. So when it's peaceful time, when you're not fighting about, you know, the glass being installed in your staircase, i.e. us this morning, have those conversations about tone. Like, do you detect tone from me? Like, what on my face sets you off? Because we don't have these kinds of open discussions with our partners, and then we fall right back into those arguments, and we wonder why things never change. It's because we're not doing anything to change them constructively.
Moving to dating situations and in the dating world, if you're not married and you really don't know the person you're either trying to date or dating, and it's new, I think emails and electronic sort of communications become even more complicated because tone is so hard to decode when you just send an email or a text to someone. I think it's the reason a lot of people use a lot of exclamation points, because they're like, oh, no, I'm really saying this in a nice way. Yeah, I'll try to be there. Exclamation point's not like, yeah, I'll try to be there. You don't know how to read it sometimes. So I feel like we over punctuate. I know I do in emails, just to make sure people know the excitement is there. It's a positive thing. And I'll check back with you and let you know if I can be there.
And I'll tell you what, Anna, as a dating coach, I would give your communications an A++. Always make
the dating
field. Well, even when you're communicating with me, you make me feel like, wow, I'm excited about this. I'm excited to have you on. And that's the tone, guys, that you want to take with people. So if you feel like you're over punctuating, you're not. Because think about this. I'll give you a statistic which will make you raise your eyebrows. 93% of the way people interpret you, us, is through our nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. Only 7% are the words that we actually use. So in the 93 is your eye contact, your facial expression, your tone as well. Now, what happens when we're texting and emailing? We lose the 93. All we have are our words. So throw in that exclamation mark or the double or the triple. Throw in an emoji. And if you're rolling your eyes at me because you hate emojis, one smiley face can change the entire tone of your text or your email.
And you're
You're
talking about social scenarios. Business scenarios, the emoji. Does that fit?
If you're communicating with someone that you already know and you want to make sure that your message is taken in context with a warmth and kindness, it's okay to put in a smiley face. If you don't know the person, then I would say don't go there. But if you do know the person, my team and I, again, we're Smart Dating Academy. We help people to put their best feet forward. There is always a smiley face with an exclamation mark.
You're such a positive person. That's part of it. You exude that positivity, which I think that's infectious. People love that. I want to ask you, we're gonna break here. Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy is here. She can take your dating questions. She can take your relationship questions as well. I don't think there's anything you really... I mean, in your years of doing this, nothing makes you blush. I know that, but I know that because I'll be blushing and you won't. But is there anything you really haven't covered or you don't tackle?
No, nothing.
That's honest.
Nothing at all. I've seen it in the dating world, in the relationship world. I'm sure you can relate to this. Truth is stranger than fiction in my world.
I bet. Bella Gandhi is coming up, 312-981-7200. She can take your dating relationship questions, and we'll have more with her coming up here on WGN Radio. This is Anna DeVlantis in the Skyline Studios, along with my guest, Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy. This is the time of the year when dating, there are more people go to the dating websites and go to look for someone than at any other time of the year. It might make sense. And I want to ask you, Bella, because it seems like the kids kind of have this figured out, the millennials, because there's so many sites to find somebody. They're going to Instagram, Tinder, Snapchat, right? These are being used as dating platforms now. You got to bring me up to speed.
For kids as young as high school at the end of the day.
Scary.
Right, because they're not legally allowed to be on Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, or Match, which are the quote-unquote official dating apps and sites. Some are free, some are not. But these kids are sliding into each other's DMs on Snap and Instagram. I am the proud mother of an almost 16-year-old and an almost 12-year-old girl and boy. So I can tell you, they might not be called dating apps, but everybody's finding everybody online these days.
Well, okay, so somebody who is not that familiar is getting back in the dating pool, maybe after a divorce or a relationship that didn't work out, whatever the case may be. They may not, I mean, the world has changed pretty a lot since I remember Match.com before I was married, and Instagram wasn't being used as a dating platform back then. It was literally just sharing photos about your life and whatever. A lot has changed out there, and they call this, you know, the season when most people are turning to. This is cuffing season?
Cuffing season. It's peak dating season. Like Anna said, numbers, online memberships, guys, they go up 40 to 50% from December 26th through Valentine's Day. Now, you might be asking yourself, really? I thought it was summer. No, it's actually now because of New Year's resolutions. Think about it. According to the census, 48% of adults in this country are single. Can you believe that? Almost one in two adults are single. So around this time of year, when you're making resolutions, it's like, you know, I want to get fit. Gym membership spike. So dating membership spike. So the good news is lots and lots of new fish coming to sea. So if you're thinking about dipping your toe back into the dating pool, I'm telling you guys, get some help. Don't do it on your own. Build a village around you. Hire a professional, whatever you need to do. And then do it the right way. But this is a great time of year to do it.
What kind of help can you get if you're not going to hire a professional? Because if you just go to your friends and family and say, what do you do?
Yeah, go to your smart friends and smart family members who are supportive and encouraging and are not going to lead you down dark paths, that actually have experience and will keep you motivated to do this. And they don't expect you to find love at the second date, because sometimes the people around us, as well-intentioned as they can be, can also derail us. So build a good village around you of people that can help you put a good profile together, pick which pictures are good. And if you can't find that village in your network, which most people honestly have a tough time doing that, then consider hiring someone. Look, we hire people for every other aspect of our lives.
True.
If you need the help, do not shame yourself about it, right? Dating coaches did not exist 20 years ago, or they were just, you know, people that we would turn to. But now it's full blown. It's thriving. We've helped thousands of people over the last 10 years.
And you said nearly one in two are single. Some of them might be wanting to be single. I mean, I get that piece of it too. Sometimes you don't want to be in a relationship. You know, I was single for a long time, and there were times when I did not want to be in a relationship. But if you are, I think that can be the hardest thing, is to find that special someone. I want to take a call here. Kevin is asking, how can you ask a divorced woman if she's ready to date? That's a great question. Kevin, been your experience that it's a hard thing to ask?
Yeah, it's by the way, I'm on speakerphone. I can turn it off if you want. But yeah, it is awkward to ask someone, you know, hey, I know you've been divorced for just under a year. Do you think you're ready to date? And it's really awkward to ask that.
It is awkward.
Is this somebody that you're friends with?
Yeah, I was friends with her, and now she has decided that, yeah, she's not ready. She has issues to go through for the next long time, probably.
Yeah, and different people would take different periods of time. But so you said you already asked Kevin, and now you want to know, when can you go back and revisit that? Is that kind of what you're thinking? Or are you talking moving forward, other women?
Yeah, I'm thinking for the future, for other women. How do you ask someone, do you think you're ready, or do you think you need to, you know, he really ran you through the mill. Why don't, you know, maybe you should go through some of those issues, and then maybe we can try.
Yeah, you know, or if you're, you know, if you're talking to, let's say, somebody that you don't know very well and you want to broach it, you can just say, so how's the dating world been treating you? Have you dipped your toe back into it? And that is a very good kind of arm's length way of kicking the tires to see what she says.
Right. Okay.
Does that help, Kevin, or is it hard to say?
That does. That helps. It's kind of like some asking someone, please don't slam the car door. There's no good way to say it.
Right. But it's just a good way that you don't have to say, hey, would you like to date me? Or are you ready to go on a date? Because sometimes someone might say, well, why? Do I not seem ready? It's just like, gosh, have you tried it? Have you dipped your toe back in? Have you tried online dating apps? And that just lends itself to a good general discussion that you, because you're a smart guy, Kevin, you'll be able to glean the information that you need and see if you're ready to go in for the kill or not.
Good luck, Kevin. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Happy holidays.
Interesting. You know, I think that's a very common question because especially if you yourself are kind of new back into the dating pool, that can be super daunting. It's one thing if you're continuously, as a single young person, trying to find somebody, you get to be pretty good at the game, let's call it. But later on, it's like, wait a minute, things have changed.
Yeah, and especially if you've been married for a long time or if you've been in a long-term relationship, it can be really scary to think about getting on a date or even putting yourself out there. There's so many people that are terrified to put themselves on dating apps because there are some bad stories. But you know what? I'll tell you this. 99% of stories and things with online dating are safe and good. You just have to date the smart way. Like, you know, do what we consider and what you guys will probably consider the obvious things. Don't meet people at places you're not familiar with. Don't let anybody come and pick you up at your house, right? Meet in very public places. And this is for several dates. Don't let strangers, after the second date, this person is still relatively unknown to you. Don't let people into your house and certainly don't go into their houses too soon.
312-981-7200. Questions for Bella Gandhi about relationships, dating. Yeah, I have a question. Is it a numbers game? Is that a fair way to look at dating? You've got to meet a certain amount of people before you really find somebody you're comfortable with, or is it more strategy about targeting the right pools and that you get there faster that way?
It is strategy plus numbers. So I would say all of the above to your answers. You need to know who a partner is that's going to make you happy this time around, right? So many people come to us and they've been doing the same thing over and over again. Same dude or same kind of girl, different face, but same end explosion at the end. So you've got to really take a step back and do some work and say, what have I been accepting in my dating and relationship life? And do some work around that and then understand the qualities that you're really looking for this time around. And then making sure that you're also ready to go back out there. If you're still feeling grief or sadness or anger over your previous relationship or breakup, you're probably not ready to bounce back into the dating pool yet. But if you feel like the thought of being out on a date or being in a new relationship puts a little spring in your step, makes you excited, you're probably ready to do it. But don't just get out there and say, I need to date 100 people. No, you want to know red flags and green flags and be strategic about who you're going to say yes to and no to, because otherwise you're just going to get burned out and quit.
Red flag and green flag, what are those?
Red flags especially are someone who wants to get too serious too quickly with you. Anybody that sounds a little too controlling over texting, over emailing. These are just some. Anybody, you know, and this, again, seems a little bit obvious when we're listening, but if someone's super attractive and you're having a good date and then they get really short and snappy with the waitress or the valet.
Sure signs.
But a lot of times if someone's super hot or super successful, we're like, oh, you know what? Maybe they just had a bad day and we want to sweep those red flags under the rug.
You don't trust your gut. I think that's part of it. Let me hear from Julie. Julie, we just have a few seconds here, but I want to hear what you have to say because it sounds like you have a similar experience to Kevin, right?
Hi, I agree. I kind of agree with Kevin's hesitancy on asking somebody if they're ready to date. I think you should just ask them out. If they're not ready to date, they'll decline. Or if they're not into you, they'll decline. Mm-hmm. But you haven't asked them a very personal question.
Are you good at that? Julie,
am I good at that?
asking people. I know, right? I'm like, I'm not. I never was. Well, thank you for being honest, and it's a really good point, but it's what you're talking about, Bella. Put yourself out there,
right? Put yourself out there and ask the question. Yeah. You can do it. That's absolutely the very direct approach, or if you're not comfortable with that, then you can take the more indirect approach. Like, so how's dating going for you? So, yeah, but I'm with you, Julie. I think it's great.
Thank you, Julie. We may have a second on the other side of this break, but we have to break with Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy. More of WGN coming up. Live from the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis on a Friday afternoon. Hope your Friday's going well so far. Okay, we have on the celebrity phone line right now, super celebrity phone line, as Rokan likes to call it, and I'm sure you will appreciate that, this certain person we have. She's a Walk of Famer, a familiar voice here on WGN. For decades, the loved, beloved, and often feared Judy Pilak. Queen Judy, how are you?
Hi, Anna. How are you? Congratulations on your show. It's fabulous.
Thank you. I appreciate it. How is life? I know you have some things you want to talk about and promote, but I want to ask you how your life has been after
some
years.
It's awesome. Yeah, my sabbatical has been great. It continues. And, it's great. I work a little bit part-time teaching at the Illinois Media School here in Lombard. So it's close to home. And then I'm just, tooling around and doing a lot of trips.
You're traveling.
Yes.
Where have you been, Judy?
Well, where have I been? I've been to the Cayman Islands.
Ooh.
Nashville, Dallas, somewhere else in Texas, too. I can't even. Oh, Austin. I'm going to Mexico next week.
Woo! All right.
So, yeah, I've been around. So, I get around, as you know. Bella would love me as a client, because I do get around.
You do get around. I mean, Judy, we just talked to that caller who says, yeah, I'm not really good at asking. Judy is actually very good at asking. She has no problem asking. We've seen that in person many times. In fact, I thought about
you. Direct approach is the best. Right?
You're nothing if not direct, Judy. If there's we had a guest on the show this week, and I totally thought of you. She's a Chicago woman. She just bought a villa in Italy, one of those websites where you it's like next to nothing, and you do the online bidding thing, sight unseen, and she bought this villa in Italy, and she's going to go there, and she's going to meet an Italian husband, and just like life is going to change.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, Judy would set Italy on fire if you were able to be out there.
That girl could be my twin. I mean, that is like literally on my bucket list, okay? I'm adding it right now.
I needed to see her in person because I thought it might have been you, someone impersonating. You know, if they just call in, I'm like, no, you need to come here. This sounds like Judy Pilak. Now, you have a really fun event going on. It's the Goodbye Girl is going to be this Sunday somewhere special. Tell us what's going on.
Okay, yeah, it's another one of our appearances, my appearances, I should say. This one is at the Goodwill store in Chicago on Western Avenue. Specifically, it is at 9321 Southwestern. It is from noon to 2. And I'm telling you, the best thing about the appearance, besides seeing me, is all the stuff we give away for free. All you have to do is just show up. Show up and shop a little bit at Goodwill, because, of course, you can always find an amazing deal at Goodwill. But in addition to that, we have, now, brace yourself, Chicago Bears tickets. And I believe, as we just heard on the Anna DeVlantis show, the Bears going right to the Super Bowl, okay?
Well, it's
so these will be a hot commodity.
It's funny you say that, Judy, because when we first promoted it and we said Bears tickets, it was right after one of those major losses. We're like, oh, great, Bears tickets. Now I was like, wow, Bears tickets?
Exactly. Now, you have to be present to win, and let me tell you, a lot of men come in and they stay the entire 2 hours because they want to win those tickets so badly. And, of course, someone is going to win them, someone's going to walk away with them. All you have to do is show up and just write your name on a little piece of paper, drop it in the bucket, and we pull names. I would say every 10 minutes, that's how many prizes we have. So I, of course, have been very busy making these holiday items for people, some DIY everything. I've got a vintage sled for your porch. I have a chandelier that you can hang on your porch or even inside. I've got some old drawers that I have made into like table toppers with jars of snow and books and little stuffed animals. Tons of stuff. In addition to that, though, and those Bears tickets, we have like $25 Goodwill gift cards that we give out. There's pizza and water and always a dessert. Everything is free. So I hope everyone, has time to come on out. Again, that's at the Goodwill store on Western Avenue, 9321 Southwestern, from noon to 2 on Sunday.
So are you sure? You said they come out, for the men come out for the Bears tickets. Are you sure they're not coming out for you, Judy? How do you know that that's not the case?
You know what? Let's face it. They are coming out for me. But what a great draw that I have, because there are Bears tickets.
I love it. Who am I kidding, Anna?
Of course, the tickets.
Who are you kidding, right?
So you know what? Not even the men. Everyone wants those tickets. I mean, they are the hottest commodity. But like I said, we do have some other great things to give away.
Like,
oh, I forgot to mention, too, tickets to Pat Thomas-Duo's New Year's Eve comedy show.
That's fun.
Yes.
That's super
very
fun.
Very fun. And usually I do a huge display and give it all, that one display away as the grand prize. This time, we're shaking it up a little bit. I have made around 15 different holiday items. So there will be literally 15 winners.
Now, the things that people probably know about you, Judy, is that you really do put things together that are pretty remarkable at the holiday time and every holiday, whatever it is, even if you're celebrating the Bears game or whatever, from the Goodwill store. Like, you can put this stuff together and you make these amazing creations. Over at the other place, when we were on Michigan Avenue at the beautiful Chicago Tribune Tower, it's now turning into condos. You decorated our green room over there, and it was like, wow, every season we had some really cool new thing going on that you did it.
Oh, I know. You know, I love that. That is really my passion, upcycling. You know, like, for example, the drawers that I made for the table toppers for this event, those I got from a vintage sewing machine, which over the summer I bought because I made that into an outdoor bar cart that someone won at one of our events.
I remember that.
So I love reusing, upcycling, and yeah, why? You know, why do you want everything that everyone else has? No, you want some unusual, unique things. One of my favorite holiday items that we're going to be giving away, I buy ice skates. I find them all the time at Goodwill, and I stuff them with, like, holiday greenery and some elf legs. And, oh, my gosh, they're so festive. I love them. My favorite thing. And we'll be giving away two of those.
Wait, real ice skates that you stuff with?
Right. Oh. Well, you take an ice skate, you change off the laces, maybe red or green laces, or, you know, if you just want to keep the white ones on. And, yeah, you stuff the ice skate with some greenery and some festive bows and things, and you just can hang it outside on your porch, or you can even put it inside somewhere. I mean, it's really, really cute. Actually, I'll send you some pictures. You can post them online for people to see.
All right, we will check that out at WGNradio.com. I want to also ask you, though, what's next, Judy? Everyone wants to know how to... They're going to meet you this Sunday at 9321 Southwestern Avenue, of course, for the big event, and try to win Bears tickets and all those fabulous prizes that you just mentioned at the Goodwill store. But where? What's going on with you? What's the next adventure? Where's the next travel? What are you going to do?
So I'm going to Mexico next week, and I'm going to lie on the beach. Well, I'm sorry, Chicagoans, it'll be freezing here. And I'm going to really, really think long and hard about what I want to do, because I don't know yet.
And I'm sure, knowing you, you'll post all these fabulous pictures and make us all jealous, and we'll get to, you know, live vicariously through you. Judy, you always have fun. That's why it's one of the things I so admire about you. It's like you're living life, and you're being your best self, and you're doing all that, right? You're doing it.
Oh, you're so sweet. You are, but it's true. I mean, at this point in my life, I'm really enjoying it, and it's true. I'm not just going to take, you know, the next job that comes along. I'm waiting. I'm just saying what I want to do. And I've had a great year. I've really spent a lot of time with my family. I've, you know, traveled a lot, gotten a lot done. But yeah, I'm still kind of waiting. So if anyone does have a fabulous job for me, I'm open.
That's a good thing to just put out there. So, being direct, just, back to being direct.
Yes, just so we're clear, I don't want to work hard. I don't want to work long. And I get paid really well.
Oh, perfect. I'm sure there are a number of jobs. Well, yeah, Judy Pilek, that's the kind of job she wants. If you know one, let her know. Do you miss everybody over here? You miss us? Do you miss us a little bit?
I miss you guys. Especially when I talk to you, then I really, really do miss you guys.
For a minute.
I listen all the time. So I miss you guys, but I really, I have not had 1 minute of regret for leaving. I'm sorry to say. It just was the right time for me. And, I loved it. I did it for so long. It was great. But I loved leaving on my own terms. That's really meant a lot to me. And, All good, girlfriend.
You said that. I admire that. You're like, hey, it was time, and you're just the next chapter. It's here. So we look forward to hearing more from you, Judy. Don't be a stranger. Give us the place where people need to go this Sunday to see you and take part in this awesome event.
All right. I will be at the Goodwill store in Chicago, at 9321 Southwestern Avenue from noon to 2 on Sunday. Please stop and say hi, have a piece of pizza, meet me, and win a fabulous prize.
Can Judy post the picture of ice skates, please? Thank you, from the 847.
I certainly will. Mm-hmm. Anna, love you, girlfriend.
All
see
right.
you soon.
Thank you, Judy. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
More of WGN Radio. Coming up, look who's here, Justin Kaufman. Hey. You know him. You love him. Here evenings on WGN. How you
How
doing,
are you?
Kaufman?
Congratulations on the show.
Thank you very
it's
much.
Your first week. How do you feel?
It feels, you know, good. I'm in a new studio and the new buttons, and it's like this huge, you know, like if you've ever been in an airplane cockpit, it sort of feels like that here. And I'm just getting to learn all the different buttons and which ones to push when.
Well, so, it's an awesome backdrop to you right here because you're in the studio that's along the Chicago River and there's great architecture behind you. It is a stunning view,
isn't it?
At 2:45 here at WGN.
You know, it's overlooking the Chicago River, which I call beautiful, even though we know there are some things in there we wouldn't want to encounter if we were swimming in it. But from up here, it just looks so pretty in the architecture of the city. We are very blessed. Yeah. We're very blessed to be here in front of these microphones. We want to talk about some trending topics and then get to something you're going to promote, part of your show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something up your alley. Are you a T-Swift fan, Justin?
Who isn't?
Oh, come on. We all got to be Swifties, right? Let's hear her new song that she dropped today. She's her new Christmas single, as we're trying to tee that up. She's already number one on iTunes, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this? I mean, it's just like anything she does just turns to gold.
My winter nights are taken up by static stress and holiday shopping traffic. But I close my eyes and I'm somewhere else. Just like magic.
There it is.
Is this her first Christmas song?
My heart is a Christmas.
I feel like she would do one every year, right?
I feel like the best part of this song is watching the video. I don't know if you've seen it. It shows like her growing up on a Christmas tree farm.
Oh.
And like opening presents as a kid. And when she got her first guitar, and you kind of see the evolution of Taylor Swift.
She's such a tremendously talented musician. And she's so good at doing hooks. It's almost perfect for Christmas music, right?
It kind of is. Yeah. It kind of is.
I read a whole piece about, and I'm sure everybody else has, and just about the fight she's in with her old record label and how she wants to put out this Netflix documentary and she wants to include some of the music that's on her old label.
Justin, maybe you can explain that because that was so confusing because she put it out to her fans, like the 50 million people. They're not letting me perform my music. And then the music people who own the early music came out and said, no, she's allowed to perform it.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like everything in music and politics, it's a little parse. But the idea was that she wanted to perform a medley at the American Music Awards. And because they were giving her an honor of some sort, and she wanted to play some of the old songs.
The artists of the decade.
Yeah, and those songs were owned by a different record. She had a big sort of split with her first record company. And the company this is from, you know, what they tell us allegedly, they said, you can't have them. They're in a big sort of, they don't like each other. And so what they came out, so when she sicked her fans on them, is the best way to put it.
Boy, did they do it.
They did it. They came out and said, we said she could perform, but they kept out. And Taylor Swift's publicists were really smart to point this out. They didn't answer the question, the old record company. They said, we never said she couldn't perform at the American Music Awards. That's not what the issue was. The issue was, could she perform certain songs? And they just kind of, they parsed words in their response. So the fight continues, but it's a very interesting fight when it comes to the top 40 world of popular music.
Yeah, you know, it's and then she's also got some kind of a documentary on her life coming out.
Yeah, and she wanted to use some of the old songs, and they again said no. Now, hopefully they'll figure all this stuff out.
I hope so for Taylor, because we're worried about her. You know, I feel like, you know, she's got to pay her bills, right?
You're worried about her.
Mariah Carey, we know her, and her All I Want for Christmas Is You. I happen to like that song a lot. Some people feel like they get tired of it, but it's a beautiful song. And now she's getting into the documentary thing, too. Is this the new thing for the artists? She's got...
Yeah.
Documentary coming out, Mariah Carey at Christmas, the story of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Awesome.
How can you have an entire documentary about a song?
Because I would love to watch anything to see how Mariah Carey lives. Right? She's such a tremendous diva, and I would love to see what life is like behind the scenes at Mariah Carey's house. That's all. I would dip into that documentary for that purpose only.
I just feel like All I Want for Christmas Is You is just a song. It's just a song. Is it a documentary?
I mean, it's one of the biggest Christmas, contemporary Christmas classics of all time. I mean, so I guess you can make, there's so many documentaries about everything. Why not a song about all
All right. I guess that's true. So you see the documentaries and this is what they're doing. There must be a way to make good money at that. That's what
I don't know where that's going to be. Is that going to be on a streaming service? Because at a certain point, that's what's happening now. They're all getting deals with every network is fighting for that documentary that's going to grab Mariah Carey fans or Taylor Swift fans. And so they're all getting payout to produce these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a new record.
Yeah, you're right. It just keeps the fan base going or something like that. Okay, remember, we want to talk about the Peloton ad. Remember that ad that caused the company to drop like almost $1 billion in market value in like a day?
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Now.
Peloton, give it up for our first time ride.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am.
6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace of Austin. 50 rides.
She just said my name.
Well, Peloton.
I didn't realize how much this would change me.
I don't understand. I did not find it cringy.
A lot of people did. A lot of people said it was sort of the way she was trying to please the husband or that he was trying to tell her to lose weight. I didn't see it that way.
She looked like a fit person
who might actually love a $2,200 exercise bike.
I saw the pushback being that this woman, when she was given the bike and after the fact that it was supposed to be the course of a year or whatever it is, she was like 116 pounds or something like that. Like the idea being that she was not overweight or she was not. No. So this idea that she can do it was this kind of, you know, a little tone deaf for Peloton to pretend like that's everybody and everybody's, you know, going to be start thin and get thinner kind of vibe. But
Well, now the actor who is in that, the guy, the husband, so-called husband, he's an actor. Let's remember that, please. His name is Sean Hunter and he's a school teacher. Based in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is the new piece of this. He's coming out and he's trying to say, oh my gosh, I had no idea this would cause this kind of an outcry. And I'm actually being associated with that, with misogyny now. And people are calling me out. And I'm a school teacher and I don't want people in my school to feel like, you know, this is me. He's an actor. I mean, is there any other way to look at this? But it's amazing how one ad can cause such a reaction.
I've seen that ad. You know, they show that ad all the time during football games and things like that. I never would have thought this would have caused controversy. Never. When I saw it, I zoned out on every commercial that comes out. Interested or not interested.
Next one, right? That's how I felt,
too. Give me another medieval Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, and he says even his own friends are starting to call him now a symbol of patriarchy. Is happening to people?
That's hard to put on
an ad.
That's a long nickname.
It's an ad, and he's a school teacher. He's like worried about losing his job. That doesn't need to happen. That's not right,
is it?
It's just not right. All right, so we're talking trending topics here with Justin Kaufman, who has to promote something in just a minute, but I'm going to drag you into one more thing here. Would you take an adulting class? An adulting class to learn how to be an adult?
No.
This is kind of a millennial thing, isn't it?
That's such a strange. I saw that story, and it's such a strange idea. I remember that I had to take what was it, pre-Cana, when you got married, the Catholic classes, which was essentially adulting. That was
kind
the
of
idea,
is. It's an
right?
interesting way of it's a way to understand what it is.
Right. It was the same concept. When you get married in the Catholic Church, you have to come together for counseling, so they can tell you how to balance a checkbook, if that still was a thing. So now, I guess they just got it outside of religion, and they're going to do it in a way that I don't know, teaches you how to double park. I'm not sure. Parallel park. What is adulting? In part one.
That's funny you should ask, Justin. Mm-hmm. Students will learn about finances, job interviews, side businesses, side gigs. The class will cover everything from how to budget, how to get out of debt, make the most of job interviews, and how to earn extra money on the side. So then part two, you might ask, what's that? Cover daily life, fixing everything. Students will learn about healthy shopping and eating, cooking, basic meals, the tools needed to fix almost everything. That's handy. And how to read laundry tags. But the interesting part about this, you might say, oh, that's kind of funny. Haha. No one would do that.
How to read laundry tags.
What is that? I don't know. What are laundry tags?
No, it's like I have been guilty of this in my transition from childhood to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
I was in charge when I lived in an apartment with my girlfriend. I remember that I messed up pants. Like I took the pants from the Banana Republic and I put them in and I put them in cold and I dried them just like I would do with my ratty jeans or whatever it is. And it ruined them. They shrunk.
Okay, so the washing instructions.
So they're essentially teaching people to look like me when I was 21.
I think you learn that when you're 21 because we all shrink something.
you have to learn by shrinking, and
you spend a lot of money on a certain shirt or pair of pants you really love and then they don't fit you anymore.
That's the idea.
And then you're like, now I learned. It's an adulting moment, I guess you could call it.
We just adulted. We just taught the class.
How adult do you feel now? Isn't that great?
I feel pretty adult.
I think you could teach that course,
I think, Justin. I think in the last 2 or 3 months I did it again, so I don't know how much I learned from the first time.
Well, the funny part about this one is it's in Norfolk, Virginia, and it's actually a public library offering this, and people have filled up the classes so much that they had to open up the second session.
I'd do it, right? I would do that. I guess there's a lot of things in there that you just, you know, it's just common knowledge, or you acquire those skills, but I guess if you're going to teach all that at the beginning of your adult life, why not?
Why not? Okay, you have something to promote, the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage
Match.
That's
right. We've been doing this on the show that you can hear, 7-Eleven here on WGN. We took, Pete Zimmerman and I had this moment where we were talking about the best Chicago movies of all time, and we realized that there's never really been a definitive competition to crown the best. I mean, people love The Fugitive, they love Untouchables, Home Alone, perhaps Blues Brothers. But and you'll see rankings, like you'll see a lot of listicles on the internet that say the top 10 movies. But we decided to take all of the Chicago movies we could, 64 of them, and put them into an NCAA bracket and have them fight their way to the top. And we are now at the Sweet 16. And each night coming up next week, we're going to take on one of the big challenges, one of the big matchups, and we have people coming in. They advocate for the movies. It's a ton of fun, and people call up and they text. And you can find, if you go to the WGN Radio Facebook page, you can find all of the polls to vote on them. The 16, if I can do it real quick, The Fugitive is going to take on Christmas Vacation.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah, Dark Knight versus About Last Night.
Ooh, yeah.
Ferris That's Bueller versus Cooley High, which is good. Backdraft versus Adventures in Babysitting. Untouchables, you like that? Mm-hmm. Untouchables versus Home Alone.
Untouchables, for sure.
Ooh, Wayne's World versus High Fidelity?
Wayne's World.
And then Hoop Dreams versus Risky Business.
Hoop Dreams. Yes, yes, yes. That's a fun thing. Justin Kaufman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks for stopping by. Yeah. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.